Welcome in to another episode of Home Field Advantage. Hope you're all having a great week or weekend, wherever and however you may be listening to us across our great country or our great land. I am also doing this as a simulcast with Odd Man Rush. My name is Will Highland, of course. We're recording and releasing on Leap Day, which is February 29th, 2024. But as I said, I am recording this concurrently with Odd Man Rush, and you might notice that my partner in crime, Kyle Diesel, is not with us tonight. He's feeling under the weather, so I'm flying solo. That being said, we'll focus on hockey at the beginning. I have some NHL thoughts that I've been holding on to for a while, and I have some notes written down on my phone that I want to get to. But we'll also be taking a look at the Major League Baseball expansion rumors that have really caught fire the last 10 days or so, as spring training has commenced and Rob Manfred is, and others have pointed to it as a possibility. So we'll get to all of that. But first with the NHL, I realize it's been a while since Diesel and I talked hockey. I gave a quick Bruins thought at the end of my last episode. But the way I see the NHL is pretty simple. And it's also sort of elementary, so I apologize for the lack of hard-hitting analysis here. But the league is wide open. To me, outside of Vancouver, like Boston and New York and Carolina and Toronto and Winnipeg, all strong teams, Florida, of course, as well, I don't see a runaway first place President's Trophy team like we saw last year with the Bruins. Like, that doesn't exist this year. There's not a team that's far ahead of the others. So the league is kind of wide open. I think the divisional races are going to be huge. I think there's a lot of teams out west that are on the bubble, less so on the east. But my overall thesis is that the NHL is wide open, part A. And part B, I don't think the trade deadline is going to provide a lot of movement. You saw the Bruins try and make a big splash last year with those big acquisitions. The Leafs did the same thing. We saw Florida do it the year before. But you look at the teams that have won the Stanley Cup, the past few years, they're largely the same teams that we saw at the break, right? You know, Colorado and in 2022 and Vegas last year. I mean, those teams are largely the same teams that we saw at the All-Star break and at the trade deadline. So I'm not a huge believer that there's going to be a lot of movement the next 10 days or so. You know, I wish I had an opportunity to talk with Kyle this week. Maybe we'll get a chance before the trade deadline. But, I mean, you talk about Noah Hanifin. He's pretty much the only big name that people are talking about. That is almost a foregone conclusion to get traded. Now, there are, you know, other guys being thrown around. Chris Tanev, also with Calgary. And then you have the defenseman there. For Ottawa. Wow. I forget his name. But all these guys, you know, sort of your usual suspects. You know, Frank Vetrano has been thrown around too. He's a forward for the Ducks. But there's not really a big laundry list of guys that could get dealt. Jacob Chychrun, that's who I was trying to think of with Ottawa. There's that laundry list of guys just doesn't exist. Like, there's not a Bertuzzi or a I'm trying to think of last year who else got moved. Bertuzzi was a big name. I'm just thinking Taylor Hall. A few years ago, like, the Bruins have made splashes. I'll just pick on the Bruins, my hometown team here. Like, between Taylor Hall, Hampus Lindholm, and, you know, Dmitry Orlov, Garnet Hathaway, and Tyler Bertuzzi, like, they've made huge swings at the trade deadline the last few years. I just don't see it happening with the Bruins or with anybody else. I mean, Hanifin's going to get moved. And Tanev will get moved. Chychrun will get moved. You'll get some defensive movement. You might see a guy like if people were getting really crazy, like Gensel or Konechny or another forward or winger from out east, I don't see that happening. I could be wrong, but bottom line is there's just not a lot of movement on the rumor mill right now. You know, Sean Monahan's already been moved. The center there in Calgary, Elias Lindholm, he's already been moved. You know, so some of the top forwards, I mean, they've already kind of come and gone, right? Like there's not a big name, in my opinion, still left. I mean, does Pavel Buchnevich constitute a big name with St. Louis going elsewhere? I really don't see it. You know, I'm looking around at the headlines. There's really nothing of buzz happening this week. So my overall thesis, as I said, is it's wide open, and I don't think the trade deadline is going to have a huge impact. I think the teams that we're seeing right now compete for the top on each conference, those are going to be the teams that we see in April and May. You know, the same question marks exist as they have virtually every year that the Stanley Cup playoffs come around. I mean, we're 6 weeks away at this point. You know, the big thing is which goalie is going to stand on his head, right? Are we going to have a Bobrovsky or an Aiden Hill-like ascension in the month of April that we saw last year that propelled those teams to the Cup final? Are we going to see a team duck out in the first round that doesn't expect to, like the Bruins or like the Panthers have in recent years, or the Lightning 5 years ago? Those are going to be question marks that arise. And I don't see how anybody, myself, Diesel, or any of us who comment on this, could really come up with a solid plan or prediction for either the trade deadline or the postseason that we're confident in. Because the NHL is just so volatile. It's not the NFL. I'm not going to sit there and predict the Super Bowl matchup at the beginning of the year and get it right. You know, looks like I picked the wrong year to go all in on the Rangers. They look legit. Jonathan Quick seems to have found the Ponce de Leon fountain of youth in that offense, and that defense is playing really well, complementing one another. Shesterkin struggled a little bit. Vasilevsky struggled a little bit for Tampa. Some of the goalies that you'd think you'd rely on to be ironclad come April, we might not see that. So all of this is just my way of saying that the NHL is and continues to be one of the most hard to predict leagues ever, which makes my job as a commentator on the sport incredibly difficult. If you had to ask me right now, I'm still going to stick with my Carolina-Colorado battle of the weather in the Stanley Cup final. That's what I'm going to stick with, you know, because it's still a possibility. But, you know, if you saw a Vancouver, New York Stanley Cup, I think that's entirely possible. Winnipeg, a lot of people have talked about them recently because of the concerns about attendance up there, but there is a really solid hockey team, and Connor Hellebuck's playing unbelievable. I would not doubt if they made the Stanley Cup final. Could this be the year that a Canadian team wins the Cup? I'd say between the Leafs, the Canucks, and the Jets, this is as good of a chance that country has had to deliver for one of their teams in a long time, probably since the Canucks were there in 11, in my opinion. And we could see that. We could see that take place in a few months' time. As it relates to my team, the Boston Bruins, a lot of people have asked, what do I think they're going to do at the trade deadline? I'll be quite honest with you. I don't think they're going to do much of anything. They might try and offload a guy like Matt Grzelcyk or Jake DeBrusk. I don't see how that would be, helpful, really. In my opinion, you stand pat, you don't do anything, because at its best, this team is a team that can really compete with anybody in the league. We saw them beat Vancouver a few weeks ago, 4-0, but we've also seen them drop games to Seattle or to Calgary or to other teams that they really shouldn't lose to. You know, so if you trade away a NHLer like Grzelcyk or Jake DeBrusk, you know, what are you actually getting out of that? You're getting what, cap relief, picks? To me, I wouldn't sweat the picks. I think the cap's going to go up in a few months. I think that the Bruins are in a good spot. They're not playing great right now. They lose a lot of overtime games. We'll get to that more in a second. But I think they should stand pat. I think they should ride it out. There's no need to be reactionary. This is a year where if you had told Cam Neely or Don Sweeney or Jim Montgomery in July that after losing all the litany of talent that they lost, both in the acquisitions, none of which came back, or guys like Krejci, Bergeron, and Hall, if you had told the brass at the Boston Bruins that they would be a first place contender in March, which they will be, then they would say that's a win. And that's, of course, not even factoring in that David Pastrnak's scoring has taken a step back compared to last year, of course. Zacha has taken a little bit of a step back in terms of scoring. You have the emergence of Coyle. You had the Milan Lucic absenteeism as a result of that mess that he finds himself in. Knucklehead over there. You know, so that's where the Bruins are, you know, and they lose Matt Prochter for a year, for the rest of the year because of the injury. And, you know, Johnny Beecher didn't really materialize, and Mason Lowry has been up and down. So the young guys haven't been huge contributors, but here we are, and they're a first place team, so to speak. They're back and forth with Florida. And it's March, and you haven't really done anything to the team. You haven't really added or subtracted from the team. So in my opinion, like, I wouldn't be too reactionary to this team because, look, if you go out and, first of all, you don't have a lot of guys to deal. I don't want to deal Lysell. I don't want to deal Beecher or Duran or anybody else who's a prospect or anything. I don't want to do that. I want to keep this sort of prospect pool that we have that seems promising together. And I want to go into the offseason knowing that there's a goalie decision to be made. I'll get to that again in a second. Knowing that there's a possibility for the cap to go up and that you're going to attract free agents. Look, you brought in Shattenkirk. You brought in James Van Riemsdyk. Those guys have been positive for you. You know, and if you're able to do that in the offseason with some more marquee guys, maybe you can make a big swing for Lindholm if he doesn't want to stay out west in Calgary. You know, in Vancouver. You can make a big swing for one of these guys. You know, I think Verhaeghe might be a free agent, if I'm not mistaken. So you can go out at Stamkos. I'm not even sure if he's signed yet with Tampa Bay. To be honest, I'm going to look that up, but like, that's something you can do in the off season. Like, I wouldn't overreact to any of it, this week. So, and to the thing I'll address, the Linus Ullmark trade rumors, as I just mentioned, they have to make a decision on the goalie. I don't think your decision on the goalie has to be what's made the Bruins a first place team is that those guys have still continued to play relatively well. You know, Swayman started out on a Vezina track. You know, he's lost a lot of close games. I don't think he's going to be able to do that. You know, Linus Ullmark has been up and down and was hurt for a little bit. You know, they're not going to be Vezina candidates, but their solid performance is what has propelled this team despite all the changes, you know, and the injuries and you know, the dismissions and whatnot, dismissals. That's what's made this team good, is that they have goalies who show up every night, and each one of them could start in this league. I think, as I told Kyle at the beginning of the year, I think Swayman's good enough to start on probably all but seven or eight teams in the league. I think he's, in my opinion, I think he's a top 12 to 15 goalie in the league already. Linus Ullmark is up there to reigning Vezina winner. Jeez, can't talk tonight. I would stick with those guys. I wouldn't trade Linus Ullmark, because what you're going to get for Linus Ullmark is completely inflated by what we think of Linus Ullmark. We love Linus Ullmark. He hugs Swayman after the game. He's amazing. He won the Vezina. There's not a GM in the NHL that's going to give you more than a second round pick tops for Linus Ullmark at this point. It's just not going to happen. You know, he has, what is it, one more year? It's like this year, and then is it next year before he becomes a free agent, I believe. You know, I think he had signed a four-year, or was it I think it was a four-year deal at $5 million per year. There's not a GM in the league that's going to give you, even for a guy like Linus Ullmark who won a Vezina, they're not going to give you a first-round pick for Linus Ullmark. You know, you're not going to swap him in a trade for Hanifin, you know, unless you're getting picks back and you're giving up more, you know, than that. It's just not going to happen. And so, in my opinion, you hold on to Ullmark with the idea that Swayman and Ullmark as a tandem are going to be good for you the rest of the regular season. And then when you get to the playoffs, you got to pick a guy. Or you got to go with the tandem still. I would prefer they just keep the tandem the whole way. We'll have plenty of time to talk about that in April. But if I'm the Boston Bruins, I don't react to this deadline in a way that's going to mortgage. We used to hear all the time, oh, they're mortgaging the future by trading all these picks. I don't want to mortgage the present, because right now this team, look, are they a Stanley Cup favorite? Probably not. I think they're playing with a little bit of fool's gold right now. But we see fool's gold all the time make it to the cup final. I mean, look at the Panthers last year, for crying out loud. You know, look at the Knights and their goaltending situation. You just never really know what's going to happen in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Hell, the Montreal Canadiens in the bubble year made the Stanley Cup final. So I wouldn't overreact or feel like you need to do something for the sake of doing it just because you have a history of doing it. If I were the Bruins, I would stand pat at this deadline and ride it and just sort of make internal changes. Like this, the lines need changing. You know, you need some sort of confidence. It would be great if you could add a middle six winger. Like, I don't know what Ryan Donato's doing in Chicago or wherever the hell he's playing. He would be fine on this team. You know, as long as you're bringing back Danton Heinen and all these other guys from the 2018 season, might as well bring in Ryan Donato too. I mean, to me, like, if you could add a middle six winger, you know, without giving up a whole lot, or if like a guy, if you could claim a guy off waivers or something like that, or a college free agent, maybe give McLaughlin another sniff at the league. That's what I would do. I would not overreact and trade a guy like Fabian Lysell or, you know, Riley Durant or any of these other prospects that they have that are forwards. I would not do that. I would also not trade Lowry. I wouldn't trade Beecher. I just wouldn't do it. So that's where I'm at. I also wouldn't trade Ullmark. That's where I'm at with the Bruins and where they stand. Am I worried about their play as of late? Hell yeah. They're losing a lot of close games that they shouldn't lose. They're basically going to overtime every game and either winning or losing there, which is A, not a good strategy because they're dropping a lot of points. B, not a good strategy because, or not a good outcome because they're playing a lot of hockey that's going to tax their legs in the spring. And C, it's not good because it's not good on your confidence, because as we know in the NHL playoffs, if you lose in overtime, it's a loss. You don't get a point for that. It's a loss, and you can only have four of them. So, or you can only have three of them before you're eliminated at the fourth. So that's where my worry is on the Bruins. I got to figure something out fast. I don't know what it is. It doesn't get any easier. They welcome Bruce Cassidy and the Stanley Cup champions to town on Thursday night. But you know, they're gonna have their work cut out for them for sure. All right, heading over to baseball here. Baseball expansion has been something that's also been talked about lately. I have some strong opinions on this. Because if you remember, I did one of my most listened to podcasts ever was the MLB realignment special I did way back in 2022, I believe. So all the way back in 2022, I did a episode called The Case for MLB Realignment. It might have even been earlier than that. And in that episode, I went through how I would realign the MLB with two extra expansion teams. For those of you who haven't seen the headlines, there's a lot of talk about two cities in particular. There's a lot of talk about a cohort of San Antonio / Austin making a bid. I don't know where those cities are pretty close to one another. I don't know who would actually end up with the team or what they would be called themselves. Like, it would have been cool to call themselves the Texas something, but we already have the Texas Rangers. So could you have like the South Texas, or would you pick a name? Like, I'm not really sure what they would do. San Antonio, I think, would probably end up with the team because it's just a bigger city. But then you have Austin, you know, with their college baseball track record, and their MLS track record that they've developed the past 2 years, that could be something too. I forget who owns that team. You know, I really do. It's a celebrity of some kind. It's not Ryan Reynolds because that's the Welsh team. I honestly forget who owns the, it could be Matthew McConaughey, actually. It could be him. But anyway, San Antonio / Austin, that's a really hot topic right now. Salt Lake City is another hot topic. In my opinion, they would be hard-pressed to add two Western teams at the same time, unless they were both going to join the Western Division and then they were going to kick somebody out of the West and into like the Central. That would be sort of the only way they could do it, or they would have to split up into four teams with four divisions making up one league. So like you'd have 16 teams in the American League, 16 teams in the National League. They'd split themselves up into four divisions. That's what I did. It gets a little tricky. Excuse me. It gets a little tricky when you start to talk about the Eastern teams that might be added, like Charlotte or Nashville. So you pretty much have it narrowed down to four places that people are talking about. You're talking about North Carolina, whether that's Raleigh or Charlotte. They're talking about Tennessee, Nashville, or they're talking about some city in South Texas and or Salt Lake City. So of those four, I would personally go with San Antonio and I would go with Charlotte. All right. The reason why I would choose Charlotte over Nashville, I actually think Nashville would be a better city for the MLB in a vacuum. The problem is Tennessee has a lot of Reds fans, a lot of Cardinals fans, and a lot of Braves fans. In fact, as I mentioned last week, I'm pretty sure the Braves are America's team, especially across the Southeast, because outside of Atlanta, you've got the Florida teams, you've got the Cincinnati Reds, which are really close to Kentucky, and then you have the Cardinals way over in Missouri, but you don't have anyone else in the Southeast. And considering the Southeast produces a lot of baseball talent and has a lot of strong Division I programs, it would be really hard to put a team in Nashville that wouldn't take away from existing fan bases in that region. And I'm not sure how strong it would be. For example, the Seattle Kraken moved to Seattle. Seattle didn't have a lot of hockey fans, and they probably weren't going to be Vancouver Canucks fans, right? Similarly, when the NHL went to Vegas, there's nobody out there at all, right? And now that the A's are going to Vegas, you also have another team in the Mountain West already. So that's why of those four, I'm leaning Charlotte, and I'm also leaning San Antonio over Salt Lake, because I read a good article on CBS Sports. I'll plug the author in a second. I'll actually do that right now before I forget. His name is RJ Anderson. He wrote a great piece over at CBS Sports. I encourage you to go read it. It was all about the pros and cons of alignment in Major League Baseball and in expansion. And his overarching point was, look, like when they added the Tampa Bay Rays or when they added the Colorado Rockies or the Arizona Diamondbacks, like those are in places that there weren't really fan bases around. They added the Marlins too, right? Like, and there's a whole thing about the naming of the Marlins and that the Marlins wanted to be the Florida Marlins, not the Miami Marlins originally. And there's a whole thing about the Rays and whatnot. There still continues to be a thing about the Rays, but that seems to be getting fixed. But my point is, and his point was, that you go into Phoenix, there was a huge gap between like the Texas Rangers and the Dodgers and Angels. Like there just was. I mean, it was a huge geographical gap. So you put the Diamondbacks in there. Same thing with when they added the Seattle Mariners in, I believe it was the 70s or 80s, they added the Seattle Mariners. There's nobody in the Pacific Northwest. you know, there was nobody in Colorado. Denver already had the Broncos, right? And the Nuggets. So, or at least I think the Nuggets were there by the time the Rockies got there. But either way, I mean, they were going into places where there geographically wasn't a lot of competition. If you put the Salt Lake City team in Salt Lake right now, you have California, you have Arizona, you have Colorado, and now you have Vegas out there, right? Like and of course you have Seattle and whatever, and the Bay Area teams. So it gets a little bit jumbled out there if you put, you know, because out unlike the East, we have Pittsburgh and Philly and Baltimore and Washington and New York, two teams in Boston. Just less people live out there. It's just a fact of demographics. So it would get a little tricky for Major League Baseball. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking Texas has the same problem. You have Dallas and you have Houston already. Those metro areas have a team. The reason why I think it's different in Texas is, simply put, everything's bigger in Texas, right? Like, there's a lot of people that live down there. There's a lot of Latin American Americans or Hispanic Americans that live down there. You know, those populations generally like baseball. There's also a thing in Texas about, those are big cities, right? Like I'm pretty sure, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'm pretty sure Austin and San Antonio, or at least one of them, is probably in the top 20 population-wise in the country. Those are big media markets. You know, those are big producers of baseball talent already, you know, starting from the ground up. Those are places where you've seen the Spurs have a team, right? So San Antonio can clearly anchor a professional team that hasn't stopped the Rockets, the Spurs, and the Mavericks of having their own fan bases in Texas. It doesn't stop Texas when it comes to college football, right? Like, think about how many college football teams are in Texas. You have Texas, you have TCU, you have Texas A&M, you have Texas Tech, you have Tulane, Rice. You have Rice down there. So, you know, you have a lot of existing fan bases in the state of Texas, and I think it's big enough to handle it. I don't think Nashville or Salt Lake would be bad places for a Major League Baseball team. We're not talking about Portland or Montreal, which in my opinion are just ludicrous ideas. You know, first and foremost, Portland is not a great city. Portland, Oregon, that is, aesthetically these days. And it's beginning to be a problem. It's also kind of close to Seattle, and you know, that's another Pacific time zone team, which adds a lot of travel. And then, you know, Montreal, I mean, it just wouldn't work. And Major League Baseball is not going to go into Canada, where there's a problem with the currency value. There's a problem with language and all that stuff, and television in Canada and the United States and all that. That's just too complicated. Personally, if I was a Major League Baseball exec and I was going to put a team in Canada, I'd put them in Vancouver, but that's a different discussion. Ultimately, my point is, they need to add two teams if they want to realign, because 32 is, I think, most leagues like the NFL and NHL have shown that's a good number. It will lead to playoff expansion, and it will lead to the watering down of the game, because, like, baseball is a really hard game, and there's going to be a lot. There's going to be another minor league system and at least two added, and there's going to be an expansion draft, and some of the talent's going to get spread out. And, I mean, let's be real, the league isn't that deep. You have a lot of teams that end up with 100-plus losses. You know, you start spreading out the talent. Maybe that will help. Maybe it won't. Maybe it will make it worse. So those are all questions that need to be asked. But ultimately, I would go with Charlotte. You know, they've got the Hornets. They've got the Panthers. The Hurricanes are nearby in Raleigh. I would do it. And I would go with San Antonio. I think that's a baseball environment that would work. That being said, I've realigned the divisions as a result. I'll go through that with you real quick. My AL East would be the Red Sox, Yankees, Blue Jays, and Orioles. my AL Central. Actually, let me put it this way. My American League North would be the Red Sox, Yankees, Blue Jays, and Orioles. It would now be called the American League North. My American League Central would be the Guardians, Tigers, Twins, and White Sox. American League West would be the Mariners, the Angels, the Athletics, if they decided to call themselves something different in Vegas. And the Arizona Diamondbacks would be added. And then I would put all the Texas teams in the same division. This is why we're moving the Diamondbacks over to the American League. They don't have a lot of history in the National League. They're they were one of the most recent expansion teams. You wouldn't lose too much of a rivalry there. And in fact, you'd probably create one with a desert rivalry between Phoenix and Las Vegas. So that would be smart. And then I would put all the Texas teams in what I would call the American League South, which would be Texas, Houston, San Antonio, and then the oddball Kansas City. In the National League, I would have the Nationals, Phillies, Mets, and Pirates in the so-called East. I would have the Marlins, Braves, the Charlotte team, and Tampa be in the National League South. That would be a little bit weird. The Rays, again, would switch and become part of the National League, and that would put them in a division with their in-state rival in Miami. That would be cool. And I also think, much like Arizona, the Rays were a recent expansion team. They don't have a lot of rivalries outside of their own division. And it's not like they're that deep in the first place, so they would be a candidate to switch conferences or switch leagues. And then I would have the Cubs, Brewers, Cardinals, and Reds stay tuned in the Central, stay right where they are. And then you'd have a four-team NL West that consisted of the Dodgers, Padres, Rockies, and Giants. So you'd still keep your California teams together. You'd keep your Texas teams together. You'd keep your Florida teams together. And in my opinion, that would be the best way to realign Major League Baseball. You'd also create a new rivalry in the American League South between the Charlotte team and the Atlanta team, and between Miami and Tampa. I think that would be a smart way of doing it. And likewise, you'd have all those Texas teams in the same division beating up on one another. That would minimize travel, that would create better rivalries, and that would make teams a little more competitive with one another. So that's my case repitched for MLB realignment with the new news in mind. Let me know in the comments, write a review if you agree or disagree. Appreciate any feedback that I could get. As always, I'm open to feedback on both my NHL takes and on my Major League Baseball takes, so please do that. That's going to do it for this episode of Home Field Advantage. I don't know if we'll have a pod out this weekend, I should say. I'm getting my wisdom teeth removed, so I may not be able to speak well. So stay tuned on that. But until next time, hope you all have a great rest of your week. As always, you can subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can hit us up on social media at HomeFieldPod. But until then, my name is Will Highland. You've been listening to Home Field Advantage. If you liked this podcast, please subscribe on your favorite provider, including Spotify, Apple, Google, and Stitcher. Be sure to also check us out 2 times a week on those platforms, on Monday and on Thursday. All of the Sportland USA programs are independent, and the opinions expressed in them do not reflect those of any other company, outlet, person, or entity.